Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off of your next order.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another Mailbag Wednesday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints have officially lost one position coach, promote another, and maybe on the verge of yet another departure. We'll catch up with the Saints coaching exodus, what went down with Ryan Nielsen, LSU, and the Saints, and take a look at what's next for this coaching staff. No film watch Wednesday this week. I know that a lot of people are still not feeling great after the Saints loss on Sunday, so I thought it wouldn't be right to force you to relive any of it. We'll be back with it next week, though, because we're going to break down three key Taysom Hill plays and three key Jameis Winston plays from this season to get a look at what the future could potentially look like in New Orleans. Instead, we'll get to a quick look at the injuries that Drew Brees' wife, Brittany Brees, says that he played through, which seems to indicate the further end of an era, and we'll get to your questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group early. That way we can dedicate some time to each answer. Lots of questions around the quarterback situation, of course, but also some thoughts on the offseason, and I'll tell you why, as much as I'd love it, I don't think the Saints have a deal good enough to land everyone's favorite quarterback target this offseason. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of land yap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, let's go ahead and get into it. So the Saints coaching staff all of a sudden is the most desirable coaching staff in the NFL. And we knew that at some point this was going to happen. We absolutely knew it. This is a team that has been too good for too long, has been mad consistent when it comes to the coaching staff, particularly over these last 4 years. But you can also look for times extended well beyond that. Terry Fontenot heading to Atlanta now. Dan Campbell's deal becomes official this morning, or became official this morning. He's now head coach of the Detroit Lions. He got a 6-year deal over there, so a big time commitment to him, and also giving him time to get that franchise rebuilt, something to keep an eye on, by the way. And it looks like that's not going to be the last guy. So we knew that Ryan Nielsen was potentially getting a look at LSU to become their defensive coordinator. That has changed, so we'll talk about that in a moment. But real quick, I want to talk about Dan Campbell heading to Detroit. Now, we knew that if Dan Campbell heads to Detroit, that there might be an opportunity for him to take some staff members with him. And it looks like he's taken his first one. Aaron Glenn, the Saints defensive backs coach, is expected to go to Detroit to be Dan Campbell's defensive coordinator for the Lions. Now, that's a great opportunity for Aaron Glenn, who many of us believe should have been a defensive coordinator already. He's gotten a lot of looks and conversation. The Jets look at him every season. They even gave him a head coaching interview this year. He, of course, used to play with the New York Jets. He also got looks, it was 2 years ago, maybe even last offseason, with the Cincinnati Bengals as defensive coordinator. So he continuously got calls every offseason, but now it looks like he actually has a path to getting to his next step, which would be defensive coordinator. And I think he's going to be a head coach in the future as well. So shout out to Aaron Glenn. Glad to see that happening. The Saints would not get a compensatory pick for Aaron Glenn heading to Detroit. Yes, he is a minority candidate, but this policy that they've created for around those minority candidates only applies for coaching members that are moving up to head coaching positions or with other teams, or general managers or front office members that are moving up to general management positions. So that's why you got the comp picks for Terry Fontenot. You won't get them for Dan Campbell, as he is not a minority candidate, nor would you receive them for Aaron Glenn's promotion because he moved to a coordinator position. Now, Aaron Glenn may not be the last defensive member to end up leaving the Saints coaching staff, as Dennis Allen also got an interview with the Philadelphia Eagles as their potential head coach. So something to keep an eye out on there. Again, Dennis Allen, to my knowledge, I'm not going to speak on that man's history, right? I'm not going to speak on nobody's history. I'm not going to make any assumptions, but I'm fairly certain Dennis Allen is not going to be considered a minority candidate. So the Saints would not get a compensatory pick for him either, even though he is getting hired up to, or even though in that case, he would be getting hired up to a head coaching position. Now, let's get to the other interesting story with the Saints coaching staff, and this is Ryan Nielsen. Now, yesterday we talked a little bit about this, and I was pretty sure it was a foregone conclusion Ryan Nielsen was heading to LSU. I didn't see a world in which New Orleans Saints said, nah, fam, you can't go. You have to stay here in New Orleans, and essentially blocked him from taking some upward trajectory movement in his career. And hell, I was wrong. I was very, very wrong about that situation, because not only did they block Ryan Nielsen, he also got a promotion with the Saints and a 3-year extension as well. So Ryan Nielsen's going nowhere. He is no longer going to LSU. He will not be the defensive coordinator for Ed Orgeron. He is going to be staying in New Orleans, serving as New Orleans' defensive line coach. He has the same position there, but they also promoted him and gave him the assistant head coach tag, which is what Dan Campbell received when he was with the New Orleans Saints. Remember, Dan Campbell was the tight ends coach, but also assistant head coach. So Ryan Nielsen fills the shoes of the assistant head coach responsibilities in place of Dan Campbell, who, of course, is now in Detroit. So that's a really, really great move for the Saints. And this makes a lot of sense to give him the promotion, because you blocked him from taking a job, a defensive coordinator job, in the NCAA. Now, there was contract language that led to that. Also, from what I'm understanding, there was a little bit of a not so good graces between Sean Payton and Ed Orgeron in this case, because Coach O just essentially assumed that this was going to happen and didn't call and talk to, as a courtesy, the Saints organization or Sean Payton. So that played a role in it as well. But you can't just tell a guy, hey, you can't have that job, you have to stay here. That creates bad blood, animosity, things like that. As Kat Terrell mentioned, it kind of just creates a disgruntled employee. It's really awkward. And so they gave him the 3-year extension and the assistant head coaching position to kind of sweeten the offer. That's going to bump his pay. It's going to get him more money. It locks him in longer, gives him more stability, gives him a greater role with the team, and sets him up for some potential looks at higher positions later on in his career, because he'll have held that assistant head coach position, which we know is what made Dan Campbell so desirable for Detroit when they weren't able to land Robert Saleh. So something to keep an eye out on for the future, and as well as more of these moves that could potentially happen. If Dennis Allen ends up getting hired over in Philadelphia, the Saints will have to look for another defensive coordinator. Hello, Wade Phillips on the phone, something like that. We'll see exactly what that ends up being. And we'll talk about some more candidates here a little bit later, more seriously talk about candidates here when we get to our mailbag segment. But you know, you have to be ready for Dennis Allen to not only go, but also potentially bring folks with him. Dan Campbell might not be done. There are more folks that he could potentially bring with him as well. And then how the Saints fill those positions. It's all going to be very interesting to watch here over the offseason. As if the Saints didn't have enough to worry about over the offseason, now the coaching staff is finally getting what it deserves, which is recognition across the NFL as viable coaching candidates and viable upward mobility candidates in the league. And now this is just feels like the wrong time to have to deal with it when you're already going to be concerned about retooling personnel and maintaining personnel over the offseason as well. It's one of the reasons why keeping Ryan Nielsen, by the way, is so incredibly important, because he was such a big part of identifying young talent on the defensive line, Shy Tuttle, some of those guys, but also the players absolutely love him. So now he becomes a part of your retention pitch to some of these key defenders, because you kept this coach that players absolutely love. So a good move by the Saints to keep Ryan Nielsen, to kind of smooth it over by having him come through and get the promotion. Something to keep an eye out on as the Saints continue to potentially lose more coaches. We'll see how that goes. Keep an eye out on Dennis Allen. Expect the announcement of Aaron Glenn as defensive coordinator to Detroit to become official sometime soon, now that Dan Campbell has been confirmed as their head coach. But at least they're able to keep one of these guys. And we'll see what else happens with the Saints coaching staff as things roll along. We learned a little bit more about Drew Brees' 2020 season, some information that really, really, really does sort of further the idea that this was the end of an era. We'll talk about that as well as get to your questions for the Locked On Saints Facebook group here next on Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We all know that Drew Brees is one of a kind, and he's going to be incredibly hard to replace if he does go. But you know what? Give yourself some credit, too, because you are one of a kind, and so are your taxes. And that's why TurboTax has experienced live professionals ready to help you and listen to you and learn about your unique tax situation and make sure that you get the best tax outcome. Maybe you're moonlighting as a rideshare driver, or you have some questions about what qualifies as a deduction. Maybe you're a podcast host and you need some help with that too. And that way you want that expert's help because you're getting most of your income from freelance jobs. Or maybe you just want to hand off the entire tax filing process altogether to an expert while you perfect your mama's gumbo recipe. It could be whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you want, thanks to TurboTax Live. TurboTax Live tax experts are here to help, giving you the confidence that you need for your one-of-a-kind, uniquely you taxes done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is the exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind diamond engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring launched exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launched on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively over at BlueNile.com. Oh, 2020 is mercifully over, and it's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, make sure you listen to Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. Subscribe to Locked On Bets, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's jump into our next story here. And this one, I'm going to be 100% honest with you, is tough. It's complicated because we learned new information thanks to Drew Brees' wife, Brittany Brees, about injuries that Drew Brees played through during the 2020 season. And this is really tough to read because you just have to imagine the pain he went through, and it raises a couple of other questions as well. The biggest question was, should Drew Brees have been on the field for a large portion of 2020 in the first place? So according to Drew Brees' wife, Brittany, Drew Brees, in an Instagram post, played through a torn rotator cuff, torn fascia in his foot, plus the 11 broken ribs and the collapsed lung. Now, we knew in detail about, or the 11 rib fractures. So we knew about the rib fractures, we knew about the collapsed lung. What we did not know about in detail was the torn rotator cuff. You'll remember him having that PT, the physical therapy tape on his right shoulder during the second half of the Chicago Bears game. But it was just kind of taped up like with kinesio tape. Didn't look like it was anything too serious. We did find out that it was a little bit more serious later on in the season, but we didn't know that it was as harsh as a torn rotator cuff. And then the torn fascia in his foot is something that's also brand new and had never shown up on any injury report or anything like that. So now it raises this question about what did the organization know about? What did they not know about? I don't want to speculate on that. I don't want to hold out on that. I don't want to talk about that because I don't know. But when it comes down to Drew Brees playing through these injuries, it kind of brings the question about whether or not he should have been on the field in the first place. Like, there's a valiant thing behind the fact that he wanted that championship, that one last championship so badly. He wanted that, you know, ride off into the sunset season so badly that he would play through all of this. And obviously, that's valiant. But at the same time, how effective were you able to be with these injuries in the first place, right? Now, we do know that by the time that he came back after the four games that he missed due to the 11 rib fractures and the collapsed lung, that the shoulder was looking better, he was gunning it downfield a little bit more, and that probably the foot was better because you definitely saw him a little bit more mobile, you saw him getting out of the pocket, you saw them running play action with him. So some of the things that maybe you didn't see earlier on in the season, you saw later in the season. So it's hard to sort of put the timeline to all of this, but it is interesting to see the progress of the shoulder over the season and even the progress in his mobility over the season, where a lot of folks were asking about, hey, Drew Brees all of a sudden looking mobile over the last couple of games. So it looked like maybe those things got a little bit better throughout the year. We know that the 11 rib fractures and the collapse, well, the 11 rib fractures in particular are things that were going to take more time to heal than there was time left in the season. So the 4 weeks that he was shut down was kind of essentially the bare minimum, right? But when it came down to him getting out there, like, shout out to Drew Brees, man, for going out there and playing through all of that, because I have no other question outside of, bro, you sure you need to be on the field right now with all this? But he did it. He went out there, he performed, and he led us a playoff run, a near Super Bowl run, I guess you could say, or at least a near conference championship run. So shout out to Drew Brees for playing through all that and wanting it more than anybody else on the field. You just got to wonder, man, like how different would he have looked if those injuries were not present? It doesn't matter, right? Because you can't get hung up on what could have been. You can only talk about what did happen. And what did happen was that Drew Brees played through some injuries and is a absolute beast of a man for doing so. So I just wanted to talk about that because we've kind of been chronicling Drew Brees a little bit over these last couple of episodes, and this is just another layer that adds to a couple different things. It adds to his legacy in terms of his willingness to go out there and play through that pain, to get one more run, but then also really does kind of further the idea for me that this is kind of the end of an era for Drew Brees, as we all expected it to be, especially hearing all these injuries. I can't imagine a world to where Drew wants to come back and try to play through all that, try to get healthy and potentially go through all that again with 2 years of serious injuries with the UCL tear and now all of this in 2020. And I certainly can't imagine Brittany being like, oh yeah, fam, go ahead, do what you got to do. Like, no, she's like, boy, sit down, keep yourself at home and spend time with your kids. All right, let's get to your questions here from the Locked On Saints Facebook group. We're going to kind of do 1.5 segments with this. So we're going to kick this one off first. Brendan O'Donnell said, hey, if Dennis Allen goes to Philadelphia, who will be considered for the defensive coordinator position? So the two most obvious answers within house are essentially out of the question now, because Aaron Glenn, who seemed like the guy that was poised to move up into that position, is now reportedly to be expected to head to Detroit. We'll see exactly how that whole situation works out. There is a world in which he could have stepped into that defensive coordinator position, but it's a smart decision by Aaron Glenn not to wait around to see if a job opens up when a job is already opened up with somebody that you know, somebody that you've worked with, and somebody that you trust, like Dan Campbell. So it's a smart decision by Aaron Glenn to be like, nah, I'm going. But when it comes down to the other option for me was maybe Ryan Nielsen. Now, Ryan Nielsen has never been a defensive coordinator at all in his career. He was co-defensive coordinator at Northern Illinois in 2012, but that was it. But again, he's one of those guys that just rallies a team, that is that team building guy, all of that. Maybe that's the route that the Saints wanted to go for the next couple of years. But now that they promoted him up to assistant head coach, I don't think you're going to see that being the case. So it's probably an outside hire. And there are a lot of different options out there. There are guys like Marvin Lewis. There are guys like Lovie Smith. There are guys like Wade Phillips out there who are NFL veterans that could potentially get this look. But then they could potentially go to maybe somebody else's young staff and try to pull from, you know, Brandon Staley is headed over to Los Angeles to the Chargers from the Los Angeles Rams to be their new head coach. So he's probably bringing defensive staff with him to the Chargers. So you can't pull from the number one defense in the NFL, but you could potentially pull from some of these other defenses around the NFL, like the Baltimore Ravens, like the Indianapolis Colts. So there are options out there. Certainly one of the most popular names that you're probably going to hear is Chris Richard. He's somebody that has, you know, he was a part of the Legion of Boom. He was a part of the better version of the Dallas Cowboys secondary, not the 2020 version. He's somebody whose name might be making some cycles here soon, but I don't know, with the way that the Dallas Cowboys have looked over the last couple of seasons, maybe that's not the way to go. And then another name that's connected to the Cowboys, but that could make his way back to New Orleans, would be Mike Nolan. But I don't think he makes it back as a defensive coordinator after a potentially nearly historically bad defense in Dallas last season. Sticking with the same topic, Andrew Clower asked about what I think will happen with the other openings that need to be filled. So I look at the secondary or defensive backs coach. If Aaron Glenn does go to Detroit, then to me, that looks like that would probably be somebody like a Michael Wilhoit, who's already in the building. Corey Robinson, the defensive assistant that they brought from Maryland last season, he could be an option. There are also a couple of other guys that have been in the building as defensive assistants, as secondary assistants, things like that for the last few years that could end up getting that promotion. So I think that that one is more of an in-house promotion as opposed to an outside hire. And I would expect the same thing when it comes to the tight end coach hire, as that's the other half of Dan Campbell's responsibility that still needs to be filled. So there are some options out there for the New Orleans Saints. And you know, this coaching staff is always intent on finding the absolute best available when it comes to filling it out. We're not done with your questions. We're going to get to more of them here in just a moment, including, of course, talking about everybody's favorite quarterback target this off season. We'll take a look at that here next on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Of course, that target is quarterback Deshaun Watson, the disgruntled employee of the Houston Texans. And honestly, who can blame him? But betonline.ag put out new odds about Deshaun and his next team. So if you're interested on putting some money down on those, go ahead and check them out, betonline.ag. They're the one place that has you covered, the one place that we trust. Go and sign up for a free account today. Once again, betonline.ag, and use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Right now, the Carolina Panthers are actually favored as the odds-on favorite to land Deshaun Watson at plus 600. The Miami Dolphins, however, not far behind at plus 650. And if you felt bad about division rival being at the top of that list, third on that list, of course, is the Atlanta Falcons at plus 700. You can go see the rest of the odds, betonline.ag, and throw a little bit of money down if you want to, because why would you sit on the sidelines at this point? Go ahead and get in on the action. And don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Saints. Get It Family, wrapping up our Mailbag Wednesday episode with your questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group, which you can join at facebook.com/group/Locked On Saints. But also, don't forget to check out the Peacock and Williamson show with Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson every Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's jump in to your questions here. We're going to start off with Stephen McCary, who asks, what do I think the Saints are going to look like next year? Quarterbacks, additions, subtractions. So I'm going to be covering this all throughout the offseason, so I'm not going to go fully into like big additions, big subtractions, things like that. But I will say, at the quarterback position, we should remember that according to Sean Payton, the understanding for Jameis Winston coming into this season, the 2020 season, was that he was going to sign, and then once Drew Brees retired, he would get his opportunity. So he would work with the coaching staff over the season in 2020, and then once Drew Brees retired, which I think everyone expected to be after this year, then he would get his opportunity. So I look for the Saints to target bringing him back next season so that it's a genuine competition between him and Taysom Hill in camp. I think you got to see 4 games of Taysom Hill. You saw a lot of good. You saw a lot of bad. You saw a lot of things that were consistently of concern. You saw a lot of things that were consistently successful with Taysom Hill. So you have to figure out now what you see in Jameis Winston on the field as well. So I think you'll see a genuine competition between the two of them in training camp this year, as long as they can get Jameis Winston to stick around. Remember, Jameis Winston is not on contract. Taysom Hill is. That's one of the reasons why, if you look at the betting odds when it comes to who's going to be the next starting quarterback, the odds on favorite is Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston. So, you know, he's on contract. Jameis is not. There's still a chance that Jameis gets thrown a ton of money from some other team that's really desperate next season, and then he heads there. Can't blame him for that. But as of right now, my expectation would be that Jameis Winston at least is back to get a shot. And he, as morally conflicting as all of that might be, that seems to be what's in the plan for the New Orleans Saints, depending on how you feel about, like, you know, behind closed doors agreements before contracts, things like that. I personally couldn't care less, but when it comes down to it, people feel differently. All right, next we're going to get to Hoosh LaRue, who asked about whether or not Cam Jordan's focus on his podcast was the reason that he fell off this year. Was he just getting old? It was not the podcast. I can promise you that doing a podcast does not cause you to fall off in production in other parts of your life. I know from experience. But when it comes down to probably what held up Cam Jordan was the offseason abductor, adductor surgery injury that he had on his core. He had core surgery over the offseason. I imagine that was a big part of what held him up this year. It was a pretty steep decline if you look at his grades and things like that. I think we talked about that. But when you look at him as a pass rusher in particular, that's where you really saw that. But still very effective in the run game, still very effective as an overall defender. Expect to see him back next season looking just fine, especially with some time off, unless he has to have another surgery over the offseason. But was it the podcast? No. And if it is the podcast, that's coaching. That's not Cam Jordan. And I will say that some people observe that the podcast was recorded before the season, but there were episodes that were recorded during the season. There were very specific references to certain things happening across the country that they made during certain episodes, things like that. And so that's your big thing. Yeah, it was absolutely recorded at parts during the season. But again, if it's the podcast, I don't blame that on Cam Jordan. That's bad coaching, and we certainly don't have that. It was mostly the injury. Got two questions here from Joseph Zapata. Joseph asks first, does Winston wearing number 2 scare you a little bit? It definitely makes me cringe a little. It does not scare me because I am one of the, and I know that this is a minority amongst the Houdat Nation. I think that Aaron Brooks was a better quarterback than Archie Manning. Sorry, I like Aaron Brooks, so him wearing number 2 does not bother me at all. Joseph's second question, though, was if you could add a former Saint to next year's roster, who would it be? Pick one offensive and defensive player. So I'm going to steal from somebody else who actually answered this question last time about going into the playoffs. And I'm going to say 2014, 15, or 16 Drew Brees is who I would add to the offense. That way there's no question about who's going to be quarterback for the next 38 years. And then over on the defensive side, my answer is and always will be Ricky Jackson, who is my absolute favorite New Orleans Saint and the best Saint of all time, in my opinion. So Ricky Jackson is definitely one that I would add to the defense. I might have just given y'all some takes that you hate. I just talked about how I like Aaron Brooks more than I like Archie Manning. And I think Ricky Jackson is the best the best New Orleans Saints player. Oh, y'all might be coming from my head after this one. But hey, it's the offseason. We get to have fun now. We get to have some fun. So let's jump next to Joshua Johnson, who asks, who says no, Houston or the Saints, Michael Thomas for Deshaun Watson, straight up, hypothetically, of course. I'll tell you who says no to that, Houston, because that is not nearly enough compensation for a franchise quarterback. And to quote my good friend Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy, if you have Michael Thomas, who's throwing him the ball if you trade away Deshaun Watson? So you're in that case, you're an alligator with all them teeth. and no toothbrush to brush them with. So I don't think that that's really, I think that's an easy one for Houston to say, nah, we're good. You're going to have to come back with more than that. You're going to need picks. You're going to need all this other stuff to go through it. The Houston Texans right now want 3 first round picks, 3 second round picks, and a Pro Bowl player is basically what they want. That is a Pro Bowl player. That's all that you're offering at that point. AJ Audette asks about if I'm going to do a mock draft and if mock draft Mondays are coming back. Yes, they are. Mock draft Mondays are coming back starting next Monday. So we'll definitely get to that. Many of y'all know my heart is currently broken and in pieces. I am shattered because of the fact that Chris Olave has announced that he is going back to Ohio State. So now I don't know what to do with my hands. And I don't know what to do when it comes to what I think the Saints should do in the first round. I was ready to pound the Chris Olave drum all offseason, but now I'm not going to be able to do that. So I'll have to find somebody else. Kadarius Toney, maybe? I don't know. We'll find somebody. But remember, next week I'm at the Senior Bowl too. So I'll do a pre-Senior Bowl mock draft on Monday. And then after I do the Senior Bowl, because we know that the Saints love their Senior Bowl stuff, we'll get another mock draft the following Monday to sort of recap that. I might also do a midweek mock draft too to take the place of a couple of different segments. No, I'm thinking about programming. We'll talk about what programming is later on this week, though, as we move ahead. All right. Tony Mealy asks, hypothetical, of course, if the Saints were to make an offer to Deshaun Watson, how much is too much to give to trade for him? Here's my 100% honest answer to you. Nothing is too much to trade when it comes to getting a franchise quarterback. However, anything that the Saints can trade, there are at least 6 or 7 other teams that can put together better packages for him and that can afford his contract in a much more meaningful or a much more solidified way. I mean, I think that when you look at the New Orleans Saints, can Mickey Loomis make it happen? Yes, that's one part of the question, but you still have to be able to put together a package that is satisfying to Houston. The Carolina Panthers, Miami Dolphins, Atlanta Falcons, New York Jets, Denver Broncos, Las Vegas Raiders, the Chicago Bears, they all have better packages than what the Saints can offer because of the Saints' lack of draft capital, basically. And so because of all of that, and because of the fact that we don't know what the 2022 salary cap is going to look like, I'm not confident that the Saints can commit to giving up $40 million or committing $40 million to the quarterback position when you already have $36 million committed, $38 million committed to the quarterback position next year, even if Drew Brees isn't on your roster. So it makes it really tough. And we also, again, don't know if fans are going to be back in the stands in 2021, which makes a big impact for 2022 and 2023. But let me be very clear. If the Saints pulled off a trade for Deshaun Watson, I would be ecstatic. I don't care what they gave up. I would be ecstatic to have Deshaun Watson in New Orleans. Very, very, would be very happy about that. Let's get to Michael Murray's question here. If Brees retires and Winston nor Hill become the starter, do you think that both of them would look to go elsewhere and start like Bridgewater did? Yes, and they absolutely should. Danny Curley's up next. Hopefully COVID is gone by next season. Fingers crossed, y'all. Fingers crossed. If so, how many games are you going to attend? Danny, look at me right here. Look at me in the eyes. As many as possible. I don't care if they're home. I don't care if they're away. Hell, put the game in Australia and I'll probably still try to go. As soon as it's safe and as soon as it's all right to do it, I'm getting my butt to some Saints games. Next up, and to wrap us up, we'll get to Evan Kostelka here, who said, look, I'm sorry to rehash the game, but the interception that Drew Brees threw where Alvin Kamara was running a go route, what happened there? Kamara is a smart guy. If it was an option route, they were not on the same page at all. They were not on the same page, but it's not entirely Alvin Kamara. It's Alvin Kamara and Drew Brees seeing the field differently. We talked about this so much going into these games that these guys all have to be on the same page and see the field differently because of the amount of post-snap reads that have to be made in order for this offense to thrive. That was an example of that read not being made the same way. And honestly, if I'm being 100% honest with you, Alvin Kamara's read was right. Alvin Kamara made the right read. He should have been running the go route. The space was open down the field in cover 2 over the middle. The linebacker was lurking underneath. That's why that pass ended up getting picked off because it was thrown underneath as opposed to over the top. So that's my interpretation of it. Some people might feel differently, but that's the way that I saw it looking back at the film. So no, they were not on the same page. And that's one of the reasons why that was so incredibly important that everybody be on the same page because of that exact play right there. All right, y'all, that is going to wrap us up for today. Come back tomorrow. We've got a lot more news to continue to follow up with. We'll be able to take a look at what's going on with the coaching staff. We'll take a bit more of a deeper dive into Drew Brees this season as well as the NFL season and just kind of postmortem all of this and then get it out of the way so that we can continue to move forward and look ahead here. So I appreciate y'all as always for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked on Saints, and trust Sudat Nation. I'll holla at you.